We thank you for letting us come to church tonight. We thank you for the freedom we have to be here. Lord, I do pray that you'll protect that freedom. Thank you for the health and the strength to be here, where the vehicles to get in and with a nice heater to hop in and head to church. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight through your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit. That if you want me to say it, that I will. If not, that I won't. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to leave here drawn a little bit closer to you. Lord, I pray for those that may be listening in who may not know Jesus as Savior, or perhaps someone here tonight does not know Jesus as Savior. I pray that that'll be, tonight will be the very night that they trust the Lord. Nail that down. And Lord, again, I pray that you'll help us to draw a little closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, if we talk about God of the Year, I would assume that if we took nominations from the floor of the world, that there'd be a few nominations from other little G gods, you know, or some would say, I for God of the Year, I nominate the God of Pleasure, some might say, the God of Pleasure. But let me ask you, how long will that little G God last? Well, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, right? So it's only going to last a season. So I don't think the God of Pleasure deserves a nomination for the God of the Year. How about the God of Materialism? How long will that little G God last? Well, if you're living for materialism and all the toys that you can accumulate in life, and you're more worried about your bank account and your retirement account than you are your heavenly account, guess what? It's not going to last very long. The God of materialism is not going to last long. It's going to last until about death time, right? How about the God of self? The God of self, little G God. How long will that hold up? Well, the Bible says that life is but a vapor that appeareth for a moment and then vanishes away. So I don't believe that the God of self is worthy of a nomination. How about the God of this world, little g God of this world, Satan? You know, I'm sure there's some in the world that would say, you know what, I nominate Satan as the God of the Year. Well, how long do you think that God's going to last? Well, if I'm understanding that right, if someone is trusting Satan as their God, little g God, guess what? Life is going to end and you're going to be a heap of trouble because you're going to go to a place prepared for the devil and his angels and not for you. And then Satan's days are limited too. Sometimes I think the reason Satan is on such a tear in our churches, in our lives, and in our country is because he knows that his days are numbered. So that's not going to work out. So no, that's not a proper nomination for God of the Year. How about the God of Fame? Well, you've heard of the 15 moments of fame or 15 minutes of fame, right? You know, sometimes they have TV shows where they show someone who was famous for about a skinny minute. You know, just a little bit. So that that little G God is not worthy of a nomination. Or the God of Beauty. How will that God work out for you? Well, just as long as your Botox may hold up, right? I've seen some of those people that have tried to stay young, and it doesn't work out too good for them. I've seen some lately on television. I'm like, man, what happened to her? But it's not going to last. So I think all of these little G gods, they're not even in the running. Would you agree with that? Amen. I'm thankful that our God is truly the God of the Year. He is the only God. He is the only God worthy of our praise. And tonight, you might call this like the climax of the sermon series on reasons to praise God or why our God is the God of the Year. And if you've ever been to fireworks, you know, the grand finale, you might say. You know, it's like you're there and you're waiting, and sometimes you're just like, man, that was the grand finale? And then sometimes you're like, wow. Well, somewhere hopefully between being totally disappointed and wow, I hope you leave here tonight saying, yeah, that was good. But tonight, as far as I know, it is the last sermon in the series, Reasons to Praise God, or Why Our God is Truly the God of the Year. Now, we've covered a lot of ground. We're in Psalm 145. We're going to read it. I'll review as quick as I can. Then we're going to look at four more reasons, and then our response to those reasons and how great our God is, and then we're done with the sermon series, Lord willing. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible or awesome acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. As I mentioned before, I think in every sermon we've covered in this sermon series, this is part number 4, and again the final one, good Lord willing, this is the only psalm that has the title, basically, a psalm of praise. David's Psalm of Praise is how it's labeled in my Bible. And it, from 145 to 150 Psalms, that is, some has called it the Grand Doxology. 46 times in these chapters the word praise is used, 5 times in this chapter. And we've already looked at reasons to praise God, or why our God is the God of the year. First of all, he's eternal. That's great news, eternal. He will not die, he does not get old, he will not perish, heaven will not end, it goes on forever and ever. Second, our God is great. Our God is great. He is markedly superior. He has, in his character, in his quality, he is superior to all others. Thirdly, our God is active. He's not a God that's absent or AWOL or away from us or coming just to our aid just when we need him. He's always there, and I'm thankful for that. How about you? He is active. So he is eternal. He's great. He's active. Last, Wednesday night, we looked at he is good. He is good. That's good to know that he is good. It didn't have to be that way. Everything about him is good. Then we looked at he is righteous, he is morally right or just, and that's good because he is going to be our judge, whether lost or saved. He is a just God. He is gracious, full of grace, that's unmerited favor and blessing. We do not earn it or deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. He is gracious. Also, our God is compassionate or full of compassion and love, and he showed that in Scripture. As God the Son and God himself on this earth having compassion on the people. This morning we looked at that our God is long-suffering. That's found in verse 8. He's slow to anger. That means he is patient toward us. And I encourage people not to push God's patience and long-suffering too far. Because God is a just God, and because of his justice, he will not allow his children to continue to stray from him. He'll bring things into our life. It's called the chastening of the Lord. So do not test God's long-suffering too much. Because if we're lost, we don't know how many days we have. And if we're saved, we need to be serving now. This morning we also looked at it. He is merciful. He does not give us what we deserve. We all deserve hell, but because God and because of His grace, He is merciful to us. We also looked at that He is glorious. You know, the word we use there is magnificent. He has glorious majesty. I'm thankful that He's that kind of God. He is nothing. He is far superior to all others. You agree with that? And also this morning we looked at He is powerful, and I'm thankful that I serve a God. He's a can-do kind of guy. You know, I don't know about you. I've experienced can-do people, and I've experienced no can-do people. When you need something done. Sometimes we just pray. Amy and I do when we got to resolve something. We just pray for a can-do person. We just pray that we get a can-do person. Makes all the difference in the world. And our God, since He is all-powerful, is a can-do God, and I'm thankful for that. Now tonight, we're going to look at a few more qualities, all right? We're going to look at four more qualities, and we're going to be done. And we're going to look at how should we respond to this God that's like this. First of all, tonight, our God is also an encouraging, uplifting God. Now look at verse 14 of Psalm 145. Look at verse 14. It says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." Do you know that there's times that we fall? I guess nobody here's ever fallen. There's times that we fall. But you know who picks us up? God does, right? It says, "And them that are bowed down, and raises up all those that be bowed down." Do you ever get bowed down with the burdens of life and all the trials of life and the busyness of life and the stress of life? I'm sure Angela feels that every day. We're living with Tim, but you know, it's tough. But you know who picks us up in spite of all of that? It's God does. So I'm thankful that God is not like, "Hey, you're on your own, Bubba." I'm glad that God says, "Guess what? I'll pick you up. I'll uplift you." You know, football, we follow football pretty close, especially on the high school level. Sometimes those football players get clobbered. I played football. Midland Trail High School. Nobody seems to be too impressed. But I played football, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of good memories. Sports are valuable as long as they don't take priority in life. There is a value in sports. The thing that gets me now is sports just require your whole life. You might as well sign on the dotted line. I'm going to sign away my life so I can play sports in high school anymore. It's crazy, crazy. Gone way too far. But when I played, it was a whole lot more reasonable, and I had a good time with sports. But sometimes you get knocked goofy. You get knocked silly. I was a pretty little player. I mean, I'm a lot bigger now than I was when I played football. A lot more weight. I was like 5'8", 155 pounds, I think, when I graduated. Don't ask me what I weigh now, okay? Be kind. Be nice to your preacher. But I know there was days out on the football field, I remember Mom and him saying, "You know, we saw that big guy knock you. We saw you go flying that way, or we saw you." And it seemed like 9 times out of 10, I blocked the biggest guy on the defense. I was offensive line. Usually, you know, coach would come up and he called me Nails. "Nails, guess what? You're going to be blocking a 245 pounder this week." I'm like, I like blocking those big guys because all you had to do was get in their way for a split second and the play was past them. I mean, those little guys, ones you got to watch out for. But see, there's sometimes you get knocked down. And it's nice when you get knocked down to have somebody put their hand down like this and say, "Let me help you back up." In our life, spiritually, who does that? It's God. Man, what a God we serve. I think He deserves God of the Year. What do y'all think? Our God is an encouraging, uplifting God. Secondly, tonight, our God is sustaining. Sustaining. Look at verses 15 and 16 and then verse 20. It says, "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat or food in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Wow. Then you look at verse 20. "The Lord preserveth all them that love him." Do you know who sustains our very livelihood? Do you know who sustains all the animals on this earth? Do you know who sustains? You know, you remember learning in school the food chain? And do you know who preserves all of all of creation? It's God Himself. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. I mean, I don't know if you're living in the same world I am or not, but guess what? Prices for food are out of this world. She does probably 99.9% of the shopping, but it's amazing. I don't know how in the world they can say inflation is this much when you go buy groceries. It's this much. And you're like, wow, who in the world in Washington's coming up with those numbers? I think he ought to be fired. But let me tell you, there may come a time where none of us can afford our groceries. But who will sustain us? Who provides everything that we have? Who provides everything that we have? Remember, I try to make it very clear when it comes to tithing and giving to the Lord. You know, the first thought that ought to be in our brain is, it all belongs to God. It all, now say that with me, it all belongs to God. We can do it with a little bit more gusto. It all belongs to God. And you know what? That helps me have a whole lot better attitude to give back at least 10% of it back to God. Because it's all His, it's all His giving, it's all His sustaining. And when we, let me tell you, I've said this many times, if all of God's people would tithe to God's local church, guess what we could do for the Lord? Well, I'm telling you, we would not be saying here in December that for the year we're $9,000. We spent $9,000 more this year than we took in. I guarantee you that if all the members of this church would be tithing. Now, I realize I'm a pretty good people person when it comes to eyes. You got to be careful. Because when I preach certain topics, I can look around and I can tell who's getting up. Now, I don't want to jinx you or anything. I don't want you to feel too uncomfortable. But I can tell sometimes when I start talking about money, some people start getting real uncomfortable. And then sometimes I preach on a certain topic and it gets real quiet. Now, you can think whatever you want to think, seriously. But I'm telling you. If God's people got a hold of the concept that it all belongs to God, but I'm going to give at least 10%. And I really believe it. You say, I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I still give my 10% faithfully. I think you ought to get off the 10%, start giving a little bit more. If you're still at 10%, and it's kind of like a no-brainer, really. I didn't mean to get on this tangent, but I guess God did. Really, it's a no-brainer whether to tithe or not. Because God will make your 90% go a whole lot better than the 100% would. You say, preacher, really? Well, if I'm understanding Scripture right, absolutely. He says you give what God has asked you to give, starting, and I always say it clearly, according to my understanding of Scripture, starting at the 10%, God will bless that 90% to go further than that 100% would have. But no, some of us are just too stubborn. Some of us are too brilliant. You know, I'm going to work this thing out. There's no way I can give my 10% to God because there's too much month at the end of my paycheck. Well, take a number and get in line because there's several of us like that. But let me tell you, God will bless you. I'm not one of those health and wealth preachers. I'm not saying He's going to make you rich. I'm not going to say that He's going to make you without any health issues. You won't even have acne if you tithe to the Lord. You won't even have any problems at all. I'm not going to say that. But I'm telling you, God blesses in a lot of different ways than money. I do know that He'll take the 90 and make it go further than the 100% would have. But the blessings of God are bigger than just material things. And better than the material things. But it's all because God is our sustaining God. And if God is our sustaining God, connect the dots and say, oh, well, if He's our sustaining God, I can afford to give Him, starting at the tithe, I can afford to give Him back, and I can rest and say, guess what? God's going to take care of it. You know what Philippians chapter 4, verse 17 says? If you don't, you're about to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Am I understanding that verse right? That God will supply our needs. Maybe not our wants, but he'll supply our needs. In this crazy world, that gives me comfort and encouragement. But our God is a sustaining God. You know, Psalm 37, verse 25. I like this verse too. A psalm of David. I love Psalm 37. There's so much in it. David writes, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." You put God in his right perspective, his right priority, God will meet all of your needs. And he's a sustaining God. Not only is our God an encouraging, uplifting God, he is a sustaining God. Number three, and there's only four, he is holy. Our God is holy. Look at verse 17. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." Holy. Do you know what holy generally means? Separate, different. Our God is like no other God. Okay, I lost you somewhere. Maybe the tithing lost you. I'm not sure, but somewhere I lost you. You was with me, but now I lost you. But guess what? Our God is holy. He says in one place in Scripture, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, he's holy, he's separate, he's different, he's a cut above. We need to be separate, holy, a cut above. Our God, you know, this basically is putting God right there on par for God of the year. Because he says, "I'm not like any other God." All those other things that I mentioned from the very beginning, pleasure, materialism, self, Satan, fame, and beauty, they're little g gods. They will not satisfy. They will not last. They are not eternal. But our God says, "I'm holy. I'm above all of those things." I don't know about you, but that excites me just a little bit to know that my God is a God above every other god, little g god. It says, it's kind of like comparing these other gods to our God. Have you ever... Maybe when you had kids, or maybe some of your grandkids, or maybe even great-grandkids, as a two-year-old, gets a Crayola crayon. And they get a piece of paper, or maybe it's even a coloring sheet, but it really doesn't matter to them because they haven't learned how to stay in the lines yet. But they get that Crayola crayon, and they go, you know, and then they might get another color and go this way. And they come up and say, "Look, look, Mommy, look, Daddy, look what I made for you." Or "Grandpa or Grandpa, look what I made." And you look at it and you're going, You know, and you're trying to figure out what exactly they just did. Now, their motivation is good. And to a mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, it's beautiful. But now what if you compare that little Crayola crayon thing to the Mona Lisa? Now, I'm not an art buff, so I'm not, you know, very learned in art things, in art ways, and what is true art. But I think we'd all agree that people would agree that Mona Lisa is something special, right? At least the experts would. Now, comparing the Crayola crayon creation, the triple C, with the Mona Lisa, it's kind of like comparing these other gods to our God. There is no comparison. Our God is holy, he is separate, he is different than other gods, he is far superior than other gods. So our God tonight, he is encouraging and uplifting. So if you need encouraged and uplifted, guess where you need to go? To the Lord. He is sustaining. He will take care of his children. Put him as a priority and you will be blessed. He is holy, he's different, separate than other gods. And he calls us, by the way, to be holy along with him, be separate. We will not be God. We will not be perfect in this world, but we are called and told to be different. Man, has the world and churches got that mixed up. Last point tonight, looking at this God. Reasons to praise God and reasons why this God is God of the year. Last point. This is a big one. This is a good one. Are you ready for this one? You sure you're ready? Our God is close. Close. Now, this is a verse that's used quite a bit. You know, I've heard preachers quote this before. I didn't realize probably at the time that it was in such a rich context. Every time I heard it, I was like, wow, that's cool. But look, in the context of how great our God is, notice it says in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. I'm thankful that our God is close. Yeah, I'll 100% agree with you, okay? Wouldn't it be nice if I could say, well, look, there's God. He's sitting on the back seat back there. Hey, God, how you doing? We're glad that you're here tonight. I mean, I would like to physically be able to see God with my physical eyes. But just because we cannot does not mean that he's not close. Actually, God is as close as you are because God lives inside of us, right? He's close. We got the Trinity working on our behalf. We got God the Father on the throne. We got Jesus the Son on his right hand, and we got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let me tell you, as New Testament Christians, our God is close. You know, we may feel at times we don't have a friend in the world. Seriously. Sometimes we just may feel like, man, I don't think I have a friend. Man, I'm not sure anybody is pulling for me. Can I tell you that God is pulling for you? That God is close? Man, the God of the universe, this God of the year, this God that is worthy of our praise, he is close. It says he's nigh or near unto all them that call upon him. So when you pray, it's not like, you know, God, I know I got to talk loud because you can't hear. No, God is right there. And God has taken those prayers. You know, in the Bible, two parts of the Trinity are called intercessors. The Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son. They're both spoken of in Scripture as our intercessors. They take our prayers and take them to God the Father. And it says sometimes we don't even know how to pray. The Holy Spirit will go before God on our behalf. I know sometimes I'm praying to God. I say, God, Lord, I don't know exactly how to pray about this, but and God does. And the part of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit says, okay, I got this. Well, I'll take this to the Father on your behalf. And Jesus the Son is our intercessor on our behalf to God the Father. I'm glad that our Lord is nigh. It says he will fulfill the desire of them. Fulfill. And it says he will save them. I'm glad that I serve a God that's close. Although I cannot see it with my physical eye, with my spiritual eye, I can tell you that God is close. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. Even though this world seems as if it's spiraling out of control, it's not. Although the world is crazy, God is still here. God is still good. I think I've shared this with you before. I found it humorous. I was not around to witness this, but I was told, Mom always told this story, that my sister Terry, she's older than I am. She's about 6 years old. I'm the baby of the family. But what they say about spoiled young kids, not true. Not true at all. Never. And I was almost like an only child. And you know what they say about only children, right? Only children are not the least bit spoiled. She's not, really. And I'm just picking on her. No, she's a good girl. I'm blessed to have her. But where was I going with this? My mom told my sister, who was older than I one time, you know, like I guess it was after dark, and she said, well, Terry, you go back on the back porch. Obviously, Terry was just a little kid. You go back on the back porch and get the broom. And she's like, and Mom said something to the effect, well, Terry, God is always with you. And Terry responded, well, then have him get the broom. Now, that makes perfect logical sense to me. But it does illustrate the point that God is near. He is always with us. When Ken goes to get his carotid artery cleared out tomorrow, God is right there with him. And regardless of what we're going through, whatever valley we may be going through, whatever trial we may be going through, whatever's happening in our family that we may be experiencing, I'm thankful that my God is a God that is near. And again, he didn't have to be that kind of God. He could have been, you know, companies, I'm surprised that some companies even can last for a few years. You know, you got to put in work orders to get anything done. You know, you can't just tell them, well, the light bulb's burnt out. You got to fill out a work order so that someone in maintenance will get the work order and come and fix the light bulb. You know, we got folks on our side. We got God the Son, Jesus, on our behalf, taking it to the Father, saying, they need this. We got the Holy Spirit taking it to God the Father, saying, hey, they need this. And we got God himself being a compassionate God, saying, yeah, they need this. And he's close, and he's near us, and he's nigh to us. I don't know about you, but God being close is an encouragement to my heart. Because life is not always easy. And there are valleys, and there are difficult times. I've been through some valleys. I've been through some difficult times, haven't you? Loss of loved ones and difficult times and preachers. I don't mean this in any condescending way, but until you are a pastor, you have no idea what a pastor goes through sometimes. And it's a spiritual battle because Satan is fighting. And sometimes, unfortunately, people are fighting. And it's difficult, and I've gone through some very, very, very hurtful, difficult times, but I'm glad that God is close. God is close. I think if we had time for testimonies, we'd hear people stand up and say, you know what, I went through this, but God was close. God was near. I'm thankful he's that kind of God. Tonight, the ones we looked at in particular, our God is encouraging and uplifting. Our God is sustaining. Our God is holy. And our God is close. But tonight, as part of the grand finale of the sermon series, what is to be our response? You know, I've kind of hit on a little bit, but I've not really looked at what the Bible says in Psalm 145. You know, can I tell you that God doesn't want a trophy for God of the Year? He doesn't want a big plaque to hang on the wall somewhere in heaven saying, hey, I was nominated. He wants some tangible results from his children. I found in this chapter, and I'll hit this pretty quick, but one time the word extol is used in verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King. One time we're told that God, in view of all that he is, we're supposed to extol or exalt or praise him. Four times, it mentions blessing his name. You're kind of the same idea, blessing, bragging on God. It says in verse 1, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. It says in verse 2, every day will I bless thee. Down in verse 10, it says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And you get down to verse 21, the last phrase of that, and let all flesh bless his holy name. So our response, extol him, bless him. Four times in particular, it's mentioned that we're supposed to praise the Lord. Notice what it says. In verse 2, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. It says in verse 3 that our God is greatly to be praised. It says in verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another. And it says in verse 21 in particular, it says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. It says that we're to declare his mighty acts in verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. We're to declare. And then it uses the word speak four different times. It says in verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. It says in verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible or awesome acts. It says also in verse 11, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty. Wrong verse. I skipped the wrong one. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. So it mentions speak. And then verse 21, it's used also, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. It says utter, another word for speak in verse 7. It says they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. And also it says in verse 11, it uses the word talk. In verse 11, it says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. And then it says in verse 12, we're to make it known, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. So I know that's quite a bit to comprehend just in a short amount of time. But if you want to boil it down and put it in a nice, neat bow, our response to this God who is praiseworthy, our response to this God of the year, I'd say God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords, the God of all time, the only true big G God, our response is to use our mouth to praise him. And as we praise him with our words, we should sing to him. Guess what? Also, to brag on him to all the people around us. And guess what? When we do that, we might as well get used to it and do a good job of it here, because in heaven, we're going to do it forever and ever. So we might as well get in good practice here, right? Praise him. Talk about him to people around us. Make known how great our God is to those in the church, those out of the church, those that are saved, those that are lost. Sing his praise. That's what God wants. Again, he doesn't want a big plaque. I mean, we could give him a huge plaque. I mean, we could just make it the size of that wall there. What do you think? We'll just give him a huge plaque and put, the God of all gods, the God of the year, 2023. But really what he wants, what he wants is from his people in particular, that we praise him with our lips, that we sing to him with our lips, that we speak and talk to him, talk of him, that is, to all the people around us, and that we simply make known and praise him because we're going to forever and ever. What do you think? How are we doing at that? How are we doing at that? Tonight, my encouragement to you as we wind this up, if you ever wonder how big our God is, I really think it wouldn't be a bad idea if you know someone who's lost. Just give them a copy of Psalm 145 and say, read this. Listen to how big our God is. Listen to how good our God is. Listen to how great our God is. Listen to how praiseworthy our God is. Who knows? Might work on your heart a little bit. There's power in the word, right? So if anyone is listening in, anyone here tonight that's lost, I don't know about you, but I've heard enough about God in this series of messages to say, you know what, I want to know that God. And the only way to get to know that God is through Jesus, his son. A personal relationship with Jesus because of what he did for us on the cross. Trust in him as Savior. I'd encourage you to call out to the Lord tonight in sincerity from your heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. It's God himself and God's son, resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And you can begin this personal relationship. This is an amazing statement. You can begin your relationship with God in a personal relationship. Amen. The God of the universe. Wow. You got to be kidding me. You mean us? Our fallible, very fallible, very human, very sinful. We can have a personal walk with God? Yeah. I'd encourage you to do that tonight, wherever you are, to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. You'll never regret it. He'll give you peace and joy and purpose that you never thought possible. But for the saved that are here tonight, and that's primarily who we are here tonight, a couple questions, and I believe I'm done. Are you praising this God as much as you should? Are you praising this God that is worthy of our praise, this God who is God of the year and God of the universe and God of the God of all time, are you praising him as much as you should? Secondly, are you singing to this God as much as you should? You know, I think it would be a great thing tomorrow when you start to shower, just start singing to the Lord. Doing dishes, sing to the Lord. Driving down the road, people think you're a little bit crazy. That's all right. I'm crazy for Jesus. How about you? I'm crazy for the Lord. So are you singing to this God as much as you should? And third question, are you talking about making known to others this amazing God as much as you should? You know, if we had some little wimpy, embarrassing God, I'd say, you know what? Psst, keep it to yourself. Because he's embarrassing. Our God is embarrassing. But guess what? He's not. Our God is amazing. Our God is big. Our God is beyond our comprehension. So we ought to be out there bragging about it. I mean, we can brag about having a brand new baby. Oh, this baby, I tell you what, is the most beautiful baby, the most beautiful grandbaby, most beautiful great-grandbaby I've ever seen. Oh, my goodness, they had my eye. And you ought to have seen that hair. And it was all slick. Oh, I mean, that's good. Do that. Brag about it. That's the gift of a baby is a wonderful miracle. But guess what? We got a God to brag on. I think we should, don't you? So are you praising God as much as you should? Are you singing to this God as much as you should? And are you talking about and making known to those that don't know this God? Are you talking about this God as much as you should? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Has God spoken to your heart tonight in any of these areas? Really, the response is more than anything tonight. Our responses as we look back at Psalm 145, and really the responses that I think God expects from us. Are you praising God as much as you should? Are you singing to this God as much as you should? And are you talking about making known this God to a lost and dying world as much as you should? If God is speaking to your heart that you can prove in any of those areas, why not go before him right now in the silence of the moment and say, God, forgive me for not doing what I should, whatever, whether it's praising or singing or talking about or making known. Help me to do better. Forgive me and help me to do better in these areas. Would you do that? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, how many of you God spoke to tonight and said, you know what, either you can praise God more, you can sing to me more, you can talk about me more, make me know more known out in the world? How many of you prayed that God would help you in that area? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate those hands. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being such a great God. Lord, not only God of the year, but actually God of all eternity. There's no other God like you. There's little g gods that we may place up as some idol in our life, something we pursue after. But Lord, you're the only true God, and we praise you for that. Help each one of us, Lord, as we leave here tonight to be more conscious that we need to praise you more, to be more aware that we need to sing to you more, and Lord, that we need to talk about you, make known to the lost world how big of a God, how great of a God, how awesome of a God you truly are. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for Psalm 145. Lord, what a wonderful psalm it is. In Jesus' name we pray.